Monday the 9th of March, Yud-Gimel Adar, Tanis Esther, Rabbi Yehuda Baruch Lieberman, Purim, making the most of it.
I don't know if you know just how difficult it is to give a shir on a Tanis, and if you've tried it before.
I've
given a shir on Tanis before, and as difficult as it is to give, it's a lot harder to listen to a shir on a Tanis. I've done both, but like you say, it's just the beginning. Psychologically though, most people are already missing their breakfast. I hope you're able to concentrate despite that. That's a very interesting tainus. This tainus of tainus Esther is an interesting tainus. It's different to other tainusim, and the question is exactly where it comes from. The first question is Akasha the Rosh asks. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that there's something called Megillas tainus. There's a whole list of dates, not list of days on which we fast, but days on which one is not allowed to fast. A whole lot of Yom Tovim, Dravonon, and not only can one not fast on the day, one doesn't fast on the day that precedes these Yom Tovim, or the day that follows these Yom Tovim. That's Megillas Tainus. Lemaisa, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, says that Botlo Megillas Tainus. For whatever reason, Chazal cancelled the Megillas Tainus, and there's two exceptions. There's only 2 days in Megillas Tainus that we're still left with today. Two Yom Tovim, what are they? Chanukah and Purim. Fret the Rosh, but now that Chanukah and Purim are Halacha L'maisa, so those two have the din of Megillas Tainus. What's the Halacha of Megillas Tainus? You can't fast on the day itself. You can't fast on the day after it, and you can't fast on the day before it. So how come we fast on the day before Purim? That's one of the kashas the Pesachim asks. The Torah brings it down, a discussion, and we'll see that one of the truths is, and you say in Megillas Tainus that although they kept these two, they didn't keep them fully. They only kept Chanukah and Purim for the day itself, but not for the chumrah of the day that follows them or the day that precedes them. Which means, la halacha, if necessary, one can make a fast day before Chanukah, or after Chanukah, or the day after Purim. The Rosh has a second teretz we'll see, which relates specifically to Tainus Esther, and the Rosh says, en chanami, one cannot fast normally before Purim or after Purim. Tainus Esther is different. The shaila is why. Another shaila is, what happens if a fast day falls on Shabbos? So, we don't have it kemat except for Asarot Tevis. What do we do? Asarot Tevis on a Friday. What, no, forget, we do have it. Tisha B'Av can fall on a Shabbos. What do we do if a fast day falls on a Shabbos? We always push it off later. Why? Akduma Purimusa Leim Atamin on a fast day is a negative day. It's a day of Avelus. So we always push it off later, better later than earlier. What's the exception? Tainus Esther. For some reason, the Rambam doesn't say exactly why. Tainus Esther is... Because it would be Purim, right? Yeah, you could say this technical says maybe because then we'd have to push up Purim, we don't push Purim up. Good, but Kalal, the Ram's not Mashma, it's a vote of Purim, Mashma, we didn't have Tainus Atzmoi. It's not Avedus. It's not Avedus, we have to define exactly what it is. And of course, the Loshna Rambam is interesting. The Rambam says this Tainus is not like other Tainios which commemorate an incident, something that happened on that day, normal Tainios. What's the meaning of the Tainus? The Tainus is a face of the Chas V'Shalom, the tragedy, there was Churban Habayis, they breached the walls, whatever it is. So on this day something negative happens, and we commemorate it by a Tainus to remind us to do tshuva. The Lashon Rambam by Tainus Esther is, it's a zecher for the Tainus that they fasted then. So it's not Tainus today because what happened then, it's a zecher for a Tainus. What sort of Indian is that? Why would you want to remember that they once fasted? That's why we're fasting. We're fasting to remember that they fasted. Seems a little strange. And of course, lastly, if this is Tainus Esther, then we've got the dates wrong. Because Tainus Esther was the 14th, 15th, and 16th of Nisan. That's when Haman was hung on the second day Pesach. And here we are in the middle of Adar, fasting Tainus Esther. So you could say that it's because you can't fast in Nisan, but it's interesting, something a little out of place in this times. So let's look at the Sheirish of Megillas Esther. It's Dvarim Pshutim, I'm not going to add anything, but maybe just seeing it and reminding ourselves, Erev Purim, in Purim there's an Inyan of Nizkarim V'Nasim. Nizkarim means that it's something that you knew once before, you just have to bring it to the forefront, we have to remember, we have to focus on that which we know. That's an Inyan of Purim, that one is allowed to repeat things that maybe are Dvarim you're doing. The Yom Tov Purim, interestingly enough, it's called Purim al Shem HaPur, because of the lottery, because of the geirul that Haman made, whether he spun a wheel or he threw dices or he picked out lots. It doesn't matter. It was something that was Pur, a geirul, and therefore we commemorate it by calling it Purim. Couldn't we have found a better word for the ontif, a better name, something more descriptive? Something like Yom HaYeshuas or Yom HaNitzachon, punkt the Purim, because Haman threw lots. Interesting that that was the word that we chose. So let's go into the Milchama that we have with Amalek, go back to the roots of Amalek and see where they're coming from and what we can do to fight back and to get rid of the clip of Amalek. Right at the beginning, the first time that they come, Amalek attacks Klal Yisrael, Baderech, Betzeskem, Mimitzrayim. And what does Moshe Rabbeinu do? He sends Yehoshua, and Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to the Givah, and there he stands with his hands up, and Aaron stands on one side, Hur on the other, and they hold up Moshe's hands, and his hands are Emuna Ad Boy Hashemesh. Something interesting, something we haven't seen, we don't find in any other Milchama, that somebody stands on the top of the hill, on top of the mountain, and holds up his hands. What was the purpose of that? So the Mishnah says in Rosh Hashanah that the other Shemesh is Muhammad Shemesh Muhammad. The Teretz is that when Klal Yisrael saw Moshe Rabbeinu raising his hands, it made them look upwards, and when they looked upwards, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, the Meshabdim es Libam, they realized that everything comes from Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Once they realized that, once they were davening, they would win. If for a moment Moshe Rabbeinu lowered his hands, and therefore they stopped hoping towards the Kodesh Baruch Hu, hoping to him and seeing him as the source of their salvation, automatically Amalek started winning, and then they remembered Moshe Rabbeinu's hand. That is something that is necessary, punk, by Melchemes Amalek. Melchemes Amalek, you have to have somebody there, Moshe Rabbeinu no less, holding his hands up to heaven. What's the vault? What's the nekuda? So we know that the root of Amalek, we said Hashabbos, Asher Korcho Baderech, their koyach was, they came with the power of korcho. What is korcho? Rashi there is three pshatim. One pshat is that korcho is miloshen mikre. It was a chance. It just happened to attack Klal Yisrael, which we understand represents an attitude that says that things happen by chance. It's not the Ribbono Shel Olam made things happen. It just happened. Korcho. The second pshat in korcho, says Rashi, is tumas keri. They brought Klal Yisrael to tumas keri. And the third chat is, Kor is a notion of Krirus. They cool things down, either they cool down Klal Yisrael, or they cool down the reaction that others had had from Kriyas Yamsuf. They cool things down. A notion of Mikre, a notion of Keri, or a notion of Krirus, of coldness. The root of all three is one Yisoid. The Koyach of Amalek is to create a Nituk, to break the contact between Klal Yisrael and the Kodesh Baruch. Rashi there, straight Rashi says, what was the Mahalach of Amalek? Klal Yisrael had been in the Midbar, and when they had a little bit of difficulty, they said, Ayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu im oyin, is that Kodesh Baruch with us or not? And Rashi brings a medrash, takes a moshul to a father who has a son on his shoulder, and they're going on a journey, and every time he needs something, his son says, Daddy, please. And his father goes and buys it for him, picks it up for him. He sees something on the earth he wants, fine, he picks something up from the floor, goes, whatever he needs, his father's there for him. And then a stranger goes past, and the child turns to him and he says, have you seen my father? Have I seen your father? Your father's holding you. What a chutzpah. And the father says, if that's how you feel, you don't even know I'm there, he puts him down, and a dog comes to bite him, and he screams, Daddy, Daddy, and his father picks him up, puts him back on his shoulder. Who comes to bite him? A caliph. It's not the only place where we find that a dog is the animal that symbolizes the koyach of Amalek. The nature of the dog, we find in a pasuk, v'haklovim azei nefesh. They have azus is chutzpah. What is chutzpah? The root of chutzpah is a person who does not want to be influenced by anybody else. He is going to define things. Things are going to go his way. Nobody's going to tell him what to do. That's the koyach of azus. The Kech of Amalek is the power to resist any control. Nobody will tell me what to do. A complete break with the connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now that happens on three levels, because we connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on three levels. We connect physically, the Kedushas Yisrael, our bodies do mitzvahs. We connect emotionally, we get excited about a mitzvah, and we connect intellectually when we recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who controls the world and everything that happens comes from him. And they attacked all three. There was Tumas Keri, to Mevatel Kedush Taguf. There was a krirus, a coldness, so they shouldn't be emotionally excited by the Yiddishkeit. And there was the question of Mikra. How do you know it happened because the Rebbeinu Shlomo wanted it? Maybe it was punked by chance. That cynical question. Maybe it's just by chance. That Mikra is the power of Amalek. And in fact, it seems the Ikekeach of Amalek is that when it comes to Amalek's great-grandchild, when it comes to Haman, the Gemara asks, Haman min HaTorah minayin, where do we find the reference to Haman from in the Torah? What's the Torah? Hamin ha'et. When the Mauritian can turn around to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he's coming to give a musa, and the Rebbeinu Shlom says, Hamin ha'et, was it from this tree that you ate? Sounds like there's a question. Things aren't clear. There's doubt. It's not posh that the Rebbeinu Shlom knows everything. That is the keach of Amalek. That was only because of the Mauritian has eaten from the Eitz Hadas. Once he's eaten from the Eitz Hadas, once a person does a various greater distance, that distance is expressed in Hamin Ha'et. The keach of that is what brings Amalek, and that is again what Klal Yisrael will fall into later on. Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu emayin. Is there Rebbeinu Shlom? Isn't there Rebbeinu Shlom? That koyach, that sofik which is gematria amalek, that ability to create doubt is where they weaken our link to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if that's the case, what's the natural response? Avada, there's an Indian, we've got to stop the Thomas Kerry, and Avada, we've got to rebuild an excitement for mitzvahs and a closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But what's the essence? The fact that we don't recognize the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What do we do about that? Moshe has to stand on top of the mountain and lift his hands, as the Targum says, b'tzloi, with tefillah. The koyach of tefillah, and the essence of tefillah, is that a person stands in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, I recognize that nothing can help me but you, Rebbeinu Shlom, are the source of my parnosa, you're the source of my nachas for my children, you're the source of any other emotional problems I have with other people, you're the source of my refuah, everything that I need comes from you, Rebbeinu Shlom. That's the essence of tefillah. Tefillah stands in stark contrast to Amalek. When we're attacked by Amalek, when they come and say, Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu emoyin, our response has to be, Rebbeinu Shlom b'kirbeinu, let's turn to him, let's ask for help. Tefillah stands against Amalek. Let's go one stage further and see what it is that makes tefillah so difficult for us, so that if we're going to miss Aaron tefillah, we've got somewhere to start. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't just stand on the mountain and wave a flag so that people would look up. What did he do? By a character, Yorim Moshe Siyadov. The natural touch of a person lifting up his hands is surrender. He gives up. Why is this giving up? Because normally we're active, we do things, I can make things happen, we do that with our hands. When I lift up my hands, I'm saying, there's nothing I can do. When there's nothing I can do, then you look upwards. Then we have the Rebbeinu Shlom. A great part of what makes it so difficult for us to serve the Rebbeinu Shlom is the fact that to daven to the Rebbeinu Shlom is the fact that we're always struggling because, yeah, of course there's Rebbeinu Shlom, but there's also me. I can also make a difference. Baharaya, look at my ishtabas. You know, they tell a story with a Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish was once in a shul, and the father was there with the child, and the son wasn't behaving. And the father lost his temper and he screamed at his son. He said, "Sabi zoyin! I said, Dabi, na shu!" He screamed at him. I don't know exactly the lashon he used, but he screamed at him. And the Chazon Ish went over to him after davening and he said, "You know, you taught your son two lessons. One was a very important lesson about the value of davening and the way a yid has to behave in shul. You're right. Very important lesson. But you also taught him another important lesson. What was that? When you're frustrated, you lose your temper and you get angry. Now, which one of those two lessons do you think your son is going to learn better? Which one will you remember more?" Something you learn by example is more powerful than something you learn just as a lesson. So Mamele said, you taught your child with limudah the power of tefillah. you taught your child with shimusha the kerch of kas, so I'm not sure that the overall and the game was really kedat. So if you take that and you apply it to areas of life, mirabim. As we go through our day, we have we learn a lot of lessons. We get up in the morning, so we daven. If we think during davening, we learn lessons. Philip tells us that the Rebbein Yishlenim is going to make a difference today. If things go well, it'll be the Rebbein Yishlenim. If we're meant to get somewhere, it's because the Rebbein Yishlenim wanted us to get there. If we're going to be late, it's because the Rebbein Yishlenim wants us to be late. If we're to be successful in business, it's because that's what the Rebbein Yishlenim wants. If we're to get through to people, it's because that's returning Yisparach. Everything's Tali on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's one lesson. We learn it in davening. But then we go out into the street and we try. And you're trying to get somewhere, so you start changing lanes in a traffic jam, and you get there ahead of the other guy. Or you push your business deal a little harder and you make it. Other days, we're lazy and we're laid back and we're not successful. So we learn that what makes a difference? Our ishtadlus is what makes things happen. Our efforts make us succeed. Two lessons. The lessons of tefillah, the lessons of the Musa Sfarim, the lessons of everything we learn is one lesson, the lesson of Emunah, the lesson of Koichi Ba'itzim Yodi, our power, our ability to change our destiny and to make a difference in our lives, is something we also learn day in, day out. The first lesson is lessons of Limudo. The second lesson is all lessons of Shimusha. Gedolo Shimusha Yoytzim Limudo, it's not surprising that we have such difficulty in this inyan of Ahoyo Kashi Yorim Moshe Yodo, in recognizing that the Koyach of our hands is not what makes such a difference. And that is the root of tefillah. The first thing is to recognize not me who makes the difference, but Rabbein Shalom. You know, when we're stuck, all yidden daven. If you ever reach a situation where you've tried everything and you're stuck, you've done the best you can, and your business is going downhill, and everything's crashing, it's natural we turn to the Rabbein Shalom. Of course, we ask for help. Rachmon Litzlan, if we've been to the doctor and the doctor's tried and everything's gone, is there anybody who doesn't take out a tillim and turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Of course. So why don't we daven naturally? Because Baruch Hashem, we don't need any help. We're in full control. Everything is Rachmon Litzlan, Rabbein Hashem, just don't mess and everything will be fine. That's our feeling most of the time. So the Yodayim are what's stopping us davening. The thought that we had the ability to make a difference. There's a Nehru Dikas Vot I once heard in Pasha Sayelach, talking about how after Golos there's going to be terrible sorrows. Chora api boi bayim ahu v'azavtin v'starte ponei mehem v'hoyo lechol. Mamash, terrible situation with Tzahu Rois Rabbis Tzahoris. And Claudius will be faced by many evils and difficulties. And Kalal Yisrael will say on that day, Haloi Alkiein Elikai Bekirdi Mitzuni Oro Yisraela. The reason why I'm suffering this way is because the Rebbein Yishleilim isn't with me. And how does the Rebbein Yishleilim respond to Tefillah? What's the next pasuk? Yonoichi Haster Aster Esponai Bayoim Ahu Al Kola Roa Sheosah Esponai Elihim Shemirach. Kalal Yisrael finally recognized that there's a Rebbein Yishleilim. And the Rosh says, okay, if that's what you say, or like I have to ask, I'm going to hide myself from you. What does that mean? So the Gvaldige Teich, in the Pasuk it says, originally, Umitza'uhu ro'is rabois v'tzoris. I have many, many evils and tzoris. What is tzoris more than ro'is? If it's so terrible, what does tzoris add? And Taisa Salateri brings, the pshat is, the word tzoris can mean two people who compete with each other. In the Lashon of Chazal, if a person's married to two wives, they are tzoris to each other. Because the two are competing. They've got one husband, and the shaila is, who's going to get his attention? Tzoris. So the pshat is that these rois will be tzoris to each other. What does that mean? Don't say Gemara. That's because the Gemara says there's two different bites a person, stings a person can get. He can be stung by a hornet, and he can be stung by a scorpion. And it seems the cure for one of them is cold water, and the cure for the other is hot water. I don't know whether it cures it or soothes it. So you need to put hot water on one and cold water on the other. You have to remember that, because if you put the wrong one on, not only doesn't it soothe it, it actually aggravates the pain. So you have to remember, is it a hornet or an akrav? I looked it up this morning, the truth is I've forgotten. So if it's halacha lemaisa, we'd have a problem because you can't put the wrong one on. what happens when a person's in real Tzoris is when he has Ro'is V'Tzoris of the Gemara. When he has Ro'is Shenas in Tzoris Zulazu. When he gets stung by both, he's in real trouble. Because whatever he does is going to cause him trouble. If he puts on cold water, it's going to aggravate one bite, one sting. If he puts on hot water, it's going to aggravate the other. So he's got no choice, he doesn't know what to do, he's stuck. Tosfos adds something. So what does that mean in terms of Tzoris? He says you're stuck in Golus. And the Rebbein Shem gives you a situation where you don't know what to do. They go and attack you. What do you do? If you fight back, so they're stronger than you. They start, they bring others, they bring forth, they bring their friends, they bring their allies who come, and slowly the tension builds up, and there's everyone, you feel suddenly everyone's against you, so you can't fight back. But if you don't fight back, they say, look at this Jew, he's a weed, and they start beating him up. So you're stuck between a rock and a hard place, you don't know where to move. Monoshek, if you hit back, you lose. If you don't hit back, you don't lose. So Monoshek was stuck. That's the matzav in Golus. If you think about it, rings a bell, the matzav that we're in, you push it. Oh, Monoshek, whatever you do, you lose. Fine shat. But Rav Avinklich, the Rav Beitar, once asked, it's good, interesting, but why is that the essence of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to do to Eden in Golus? Not just Rois, but Rois Rabois V'Tzoris. Why is that the most important nekuda of the suffering in Golus? So long as there's only one type of trouble, it can be this thing, it can be that thing, it can be any type of trouble, what's our natural response? What do? We'll try, we make ishtadlus, we'll make a difference, we'll do something to change it. So the Rebbein Shem is going to put you in a situation where whichever way you turn, nothing will help. Hopefully that will bring you to a recognition that the only source of help is the Rebbein Shem. Now look at the next passage. What did Klal Yisrael say? Al ki ein elokai bekirbi mitzouni haro'os ha'ele. They've realized that it's ro'os, but they haven't chap that it's tzoris. They haven't realized that there's nothing that they can do to make a difference. So the Rebbein Shlom, what, you're still busy with your own ishtablus? Onoich haster asteres panai. If you're so involved with yourself you think you can make a difference, then forget it, there's nothing I can do for you. What you deserve is Hester Ponim. And this pasuk, Vonechi Hester Aster, is the pasuk from which Chazal Darshan, Esther min HaTorah min Ayin. And the Koyach of Esther is to overcome that Hester. The Hester that comes from the fact that we think that our actions can make a difference. And the response has to be, no, we have to recognize there's a Rebbein Shloilem, Kasha Yorim Moshe Es Yodov. Let's give up. When we surrender our own kechus and our ability to make a difference, when we recognize we're not in charge, then we turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then there's truth filler, and then there's a chance that we can get back and break the spell of Amalek, the kechus that they have over us. Amalek says, it all happens by chance, it's not the Rebbein Shloilem. Phyllis says, it's nothing to do with us, it's only the Rebbein Shem. And if that was true in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, where Taka, there was a Tzoyim, there was a fast day, Chazal say, we learned that you need three Tzadikim, Tamir Chachomim, to be Koveya fast, we learn it from there, from Moshe, Aaron, Bechur, that day they were fasting when they went to fight Amalek. It was a day of Tfilah, a day of Tzoyim, because the only way to fight Amalek is with Tfilah. With that we understand why Esther invited Haman to her Suda. And the Gemara says that one of the reasons was so that Klal Yisrael shouldn't feel Och Islanu Bebeis HaMelech. They shouldn't rely on his shtadlus. It's not the Maharal, because Esther understood that this was a clash with Haman, with Amalek. And if you're fighting Amalek, the only hope you have is a genuine, sincere tefillah. Without a sincere tefillah, you can't break Amalek, because you're still living in the world of Ayesh Hashem v'kibbeinu mayin. So she didn't want them to give any credence whatsoever to Shadrach, to rely on her at all. So she said, better they shouldn't rely on me, better they should think that I've joined Haman, I've joined the other side. They'll realize the only thing that can help them is tefillah. V'tzumu alai shloishas yomim laila v'yoyim. Set days of tainis, days of tefillah. That's the only way we can overcome the koyach of Amalek. In Golan Shtet, he explains the Gemara. The Gemara says that Mordechai Tzadik was called Ben Yoyer, Ben Shimi, Ben Kish. And the Gemara darshans, what does Ben Yoyer mean? He lit up the eyes of Klal Yisrael through his davar. Shimi, Shemir is a lashon of Shemir. Akash Baruch Hu heard the davening. Kish is a lashon of knocking on the door. He knocked on the door with his tefillah. For the Gaon, I mean, all names could be dashed in that way. And you don't find that Chazal dash in every name to mean some sort of meaning, some vod, some taich. So the Gaon, there are four main klichas that a person has, four main chushim, four main senses. Seeing, hearing, smelling, and of course the mouth, which talks and eats, tastes. Besides the chush amishush, which is a less sensitive chush. And he says, interestingly enough, that the first three are normally used for Torah. Listening, you listen to the Divrei Torah. Seeing, you read the Divrei Torah. And your mouth speaks the Divrei Torah. The only one that has no shaykh with the Torah is the chush hareach, the keich of smell, which he says connects to the keich of tefillah. He doesn't say why, although we know that the keich of ketores, the Indian of ketores, is an Indian that corresponds to tefillah, and the keich of ketores is with smell. He says, but we know that Malcha Tzadik was Mari Deich, he was ketores. So therefore, Malcha Tzadik's whole keich is the keich of tefillah. So where does the Re'ir, Shmir, and Dibur come into Malcha Tzadik? So Chazal Dashen, even Malcha Tzadik had a sheiches to all these keiches, and he used them all for tefillah. The keich of Mordechai is the keich of tefillah, the keich to take everyone together, like Knesset Kol HaYehudim, get the Yidden together. So the Maharal, when do you get Yidden together? For what mitzvah do you gather Yidden together? Davening? They need dominion. Esther sent a message, don't daven at home. Knesset Kol HaYehudim, get everyone together. That's the keich with which we combat Amalek. So it is one stage further. Imagine, I want to tell you about a great Hasidic Rebbe. I want to tell you how powerful he is. In Tzoros, you should go and get bracha from this Rebbe. I want to tell you how just nearly one incredible mosque in this Rebbe. I'll take an example. I'll take my head in. Elsa Zeda, my great, great, great grandfather, Rebbe Ratzfeld, loads of stories about it. Let me tell you how moifus for the Hasidic Rebbe. I don't know whether you believe it or not, doesn't matter. I'll tell you the story anyway. The story is that in their town, in Ratzfeld, there was a goy, a baker, a terrible fellow, a real anti-Semite, an echter son of Yisrael, and he caused Soros, all the evening, but particularly to his tenant. He had a house next door, the bakery, and he caused his tenant, Soros, to rest. One day the tenant comes running to the Rebbe. He says, Rebbe, Brachmunas, he wants to throw me out, and he said he's going to raise double my rent or throw me out. I'm mamishing a hefted Soros. I must tell you, Reb Hetzke had very long eyebrows, so long they covered his eyes. If he ever wanted to see something, he would lift up his eyebrows and have a look. So he says to the Yid, what baker's a baker in Ratzfeld? Kenish that. He says, yeah, can I look down the road? He says, you have to show me this. A baker in Ratzfeld. So he takes him out the house. And he points, look, there's the bakery. And of course, he doesn't lift up his eyebrows. And he looks, he says, I don't see no bakery. I don't see any bakery. And he marches back into the house. And of course, I need to tell you that that night the bakery burnt down and the guy moved out of town and there's no more tourists anymore. Wonderful story. Just shows you that if you're ever in trouble you should go to Reb Hetzke Ratzfeld and ask for a bracha. Now imagine I told you that story, but I left out one critical detail. I told you the story once upon a time. There was a baker causing tourists to the tenant, and the tenant was really, really upset, and that night the bakery burnt down. Would that prove anything about Reb Hetzke Ratzfeld? I would have left out the main details. Like the father says, you know, you've got to go to that town. Everybody who goes to that town gets cured. I'm telling you, I've seen many people with your illness, and they all went to such and such a town, they came back cured. If you get to tell him the main thing, is they went into Dr. So-and-so, and they made an appointment with him, and the doctor helped them. If you don't tell them that detail, it's Ikka Chosim Min HaSeifa. What was the message of Purim? We tend to understand that the message of Purim was that when Klal Yisrael are in Tzoros, the Rebbein Shalom comes and saves us. The Rambam says not that way. The Rambam in Sefer Mitzvot HaKotzer says as following. One of the messages of Purim, and this is a mandam in the Gemara, is a kedei lohidia ledoiris haboim, to let all future generations know, she emes mashiv tichonu batoiro umi goy godl hashaloyelikim kraven. Emes mashiv tichon batirit. Emes, what the Rebbeinu Shalom promised us. If you daven, I'll respond. That is the message of Purim, of the Rambam. So if we would just tell the story of Purim, that once upon a time, there was a Klal Yisrael, and we'd read Megillah, and they were in Tzoros, and then they were saved, we'd have missed the main point. That, according to the Rambam, one of the ikkar nekudos of the Megillah is to chap Divrei Atoimos Atakosom. Then it was based on Tefillah. Klal Yisrael went Saros. They davened, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped them. The Kerech of Tefillah. And if that's true, we understand very well what the Rambam says. Why there's a Zecha for Tanis Esther? It's not the Rosh. This is not to commemorate the Tainios of Esther only. That's one Tainis. But before they went to war, just like in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, if you're fighting Amalek, you need Tefillah. A Yom Tefillah is a day of Tainis. So therefore, says the Rosh, that the one we're commemorating is the fast day that took place while they were at battle, while they went to war. They fought while they were fasting. Usually not a very good idea to fast, to fight when you're fasting. But Klal Yisrael understood when you're fighting Amalek, the Keach is with the Keach of Tefillah. So the main they went out fasting. Today they were fasting. That's why we have Tanis Esther. And that's why it's not Avelus, we said, and Varaya can be pushed early. So what is it? It's a Yom of Tefillah. Lohidiyash emes mash kosov batayra ki migo yigol hashaleh can create an elof kashem leikenu chokor kareinu elof. So the Briskerov, that's what means Shoshanas Yaakov. Lohidiyah Purim makes known shekol kivecho. If one truly trusts HaKadosh Baruch and davens him le'yavoshev le'yikom le'netzach the kerech of Tefillah, we should be zeicha to utilize the kerech of Tefillah and Purim shetake kol ha'peshet yad nosim lo, the kerech to really make a difference with our Tefillahs, and to leave Purim with a chizuk and Tefillah that will take us not just through Yom HaPurim but through the whole year of Yisrael.